I have now. Actually, I'm just going to turn the levels down a little bit because I'm going to do my testing here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, that'll do.
Rob, that sounds great.
Yeah.
So another podcast. We're really cranking them out at the moment, aren't we?
Well, I suppose we have to do something in these times, don't we?
You mean you're not preparing lectures and seminars and having group tutorials with people?
Well, the answer to that is yes. and I'm starting to do some preparation on online forums, which try to get a bit more A, structure in, and B, a bit more sort of dynamism in, as opposed to what usually happens with an online forum. It dies a death within 5 minutes.
I thought it was fascinating to see your MBA group's online forum discussion over the weekend about referencing.
Yes, yeah.
And so, and it was nice to see them engaging with each other.
Yes, yeah.
Even if it was about referencing.
Well, referencing gets some people excited.
But not as excited as you are about talking in terms of first-person writing.
Yes, and that is something that I am very enthusiastic about. Yeah, I do like a good bit of first-person writing. I think it's engaging to read, and it is demanding to write. And I think it's one of those things that tests one's practice as a both as a thinker and a practitioner.
So how much, in terms of this podcast, we were going to focus on first-person writing, and really, you know, it's something that I think I get my students to do, but
yeah.
I haven't really thought about the rationale behind it, and it's probably a terrible thing to say that I haven't really thought about it, other than that I think it's a good thing to do, probably more intuitively than rationally.
Yeah.
How much first-person writing have you got across all the activities that you get your students to do? What's the balance, do you think?
I'm not sure if I could actually give a percentage balance to it, but it's certainly, with the MBA that I run, there's quite a bit of first-person writing there because it's all about the development of their practice. In a level 6 strategy module that I run, there is less first person writing, but I do get them to do a little bit of it, or rather, when they think about writing the strategy, I get them to ask themselves the question, how should they write, and should they, and how they can think about using first person in writing strategy. And then there's the ethics module that I run, and then I start off with a bit of first person writing as a way of enabling them to start thinking about how they think about ethics. So it varies, really. It is a feature in all of the teaching that I do, though, in some degree or other.
Yeah, interesting. Do you find my hunch is that students find it more natural? But you said at the minute ago you found it quite a difficult discipline. Is my hunch completely misplaced, do you think, or am I just reflecting a sort of a casual first person writing that is a bit too simplistic?
I think first person writing, the use of the I, the me, is alien to many people. So I can give you an example. My son is home at the moment. He's at Birmingham University studying politics, and you know, he's a pretty good student. He gets good marks, and he, you know, gets a subject and he just rattles off, works hard at it, not quite rattling off, but he works hard at it. He has a bit of a formula in his own mind as to how he goes about things, submits it, comes back with a pretty good mark, and but this time, a few weeks ago, be given an assignment to write something in the first person, and you say this is really difficult, and I find it, I just don't like it at all, because it number one is that for my son and also for other people I've met, it upsets the general formula of academic practice. And secondly, you have to explain how you think about something and your own views. And sometimes that's a well that is not often tapped. And it is a different discipline. So I think it is hard for many people.
I think that's really interesting. I've got, reflecting on my own suite of modules, I've steered away from first-person writing in the first year. But not for any particular reason. It's not something that I've got a rationale underneath it. In the second year, I've started to put in assessments where I, particularly with the apprenticeship students, where I've said, you choose, you decide what you think is going to be most appropriate for you or most helpful for you. You choose whether you want to write it in first or third person. And that's only something that I've been doing for the last couple of years. And it's fascinating the spread of responses. Generally, though, I found people being quite positive about it and not. And maybe it's because they haven't got into the habit that you suggest your son's got into, but they found it usually quite comfortable. There's only one student I can think of who reacted only a couple of weeks ago, actually, and said he just doesn't seem right. but generally, it's been received fairly well.
When I get my level six students to make a choice, that choice that you're talking about, I first of all, I say, well, okay, you've now got to make a choice, but also you've got to explain that choice to yourself and to me. What are the advantages and disadvantages? How does it feel in making a choice and then running with it? What's it feel like in making that argument in that difference in a different style? What does it reveal about yourself and how you put that argument together?
Whereabouts do you do that explanation of the choice? Do you do that as part of a discussion in class, or do you ask them to actually submit that as part of an assessed bit of writing?
It's a discussion we have in class.
Yeah. Okay.
So, for example, you know, if they're writing an executive summary on a strategy, you can write that in the first person. Well, what does that say, A, about yourself, but also how it comes across to the reader? And I think you said something really interesting about some people find it quite easy and straightforward. There could be a flippant approach to first person writing, which is a bit like, you know, you come back on the autumn term in your holidays at school and your teacher says, okay, write about what you've done over the summer. You know, when you're at primary school, now clearly you can do something like that, and it's all written in the first person. I did this and I did that. But I think where it becomes really hard is it's in that process, vital process of iteration. So you can write an account of something, a vignette or a short piece about some critical or striking moment. And then you come round to asking yourself the question, what does this mean and why? So you do your first draft, you go back to it and you say, okay, what happened here and why? So it's a further iteration, and then perhaps a further iteration to that. So it's a highly reflexive process that's quite demanding. I wrote a book with a friend of mine, Douglas Board, called Social Development of Leadership and Knowledge, where we tackle this subject head on, the process of iteration, and we talk about it. It's a bit like erosion of a granite outcrop. You know, the harder you sort of iterate and work with it, the outcrops occur and develop that are really important to you and your argument as a reflexive piece. So actually, I think it's quite a hard and challenging process to go through. It's not like, you know, writing about your holidays.
I see what you mean, and I'm sorry if I came across as it's about writing as your holidays. That's not really what I meant. I guess I found students are comfortable in the initial phase about writing like that. And I suppose listening to you, and particularly that question about what does this mean and why.
Yeah.
I can absolutely see that, and I agree with that part of the process potentially being a difficult one. I suppose, and I'm playing a little bit of devil's advocate here, I guess, but I kind of think asking that question in the third person for a sort of an objective study quite difficult as well.
Yeah.
You know, why, you know, if you're writing something about an organisation that's behaved in a particular way and doing it quite objectively, trying to explore what that means and why is still quite hard, even if you do it in the third person.
It is. And I just realised in talking about this and going off into this subject, it's revealing my sensitivity about the subject, because I do sometimes think that people don't take first person writing seriously, or they think it's flippant.
I'm not saying for a second that it's flippant. I'm reflecting on an experience where students who respond, the balance for me has been, oh, actually, yeah, I'm comfortable writing in the first person. I'll have a go. And it's not mostly they don't come back with a kind of dear diary approach. Some, you know, I lied a little bit at the beginning when I said I've mostly encouraged the first years to avoid and write third person. There is a little bit of reflective writing in the first year I get them to do. And I guess the stronger pieces of work are the ones where they have answered that question about what does it mean and why. And I suppose at first year, the weaker bits of work, particularly last year, they've been weak because they've been weak, not because they haven't been able to deal with the tense, not tense, the person. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It does make sense. It'd be interesting to see how they develop their practice as they go from level 4 to 5 to 6.
Well, I suppose in the apprenticeship group, there are those students who've gone through the consultancy project, and we have three modules on the consultancy project, one at level 5 and two then at level 6. And at each stage, there is an element of reflection required in the formative assessment and summative assessment. So actually, the opportunity to compare and contrast that seems to be quite useful. And those students are just beginning to move on to their final module. So we have got that group of students who have furthest through to a position where we could sit down and actually do that comparison.
Sounds like an interesting research project.
Well, it's potentially quite interesting, and it's quite contained because they're a very small group, isn't it? It was almost as though you were thinking of that when you wrote those module descriptors.
Yeah. Actually, talking about groups and writing in first person, one of the things that I tend to do, I think writing, there's a social element to writing. And what I mean by that is that, actually, sometimes what I get people to do is to do a short piece of writing, might be a page, in class. And then I get them to read, get them into groups of four or three or four, and get them to read what they've written into their group. And what I've noticed is that when they read what they've written, inevitably they're hearing it for the first time, and they're getting a reaction back from the people that they're talking to. So it's quite an intense experience, and from that interaction, and also from the questioning that then ensues after that, it sort of accelerates that process of erosion and making evident what is important. It accelerates that, and from a theoretical perspective, I'm drawn to this idea of George Herbert Mead's the I-Me dialectic, where as I'm speaking, I am both the object and a subject of what I'm actually experiencing. Mm-hmm. So I think that's quite a useful way of intensifying the writing of in the first person.
Well, you might remember that because of that first group of apprenticeship students that we're teaching going through the process, I got them to do that. And it was quite revealing. Everyone was listening to it for the first time, actually, in many ways. I'm thinking forward now a little bit, and wondering, have you tried that online? Have you tried it teaching electronically?
No, not doing that, no.
Because that's the the conundrum that's rapidly approaching, because I would like to do it.
Yeah.
And in a way, I'm thinking about what you said a minute ago in terms of that process of iteration, and I'm just reflecting on whether there's a way of getting students to be quite active in that process of iteration by using this, this e-learning online activity that we're now undergoing, by producing little bits of writing that they do then make that contribution electronically or virtually, in a formative way. But I've no sense of how that will unfold, because I've never done it before.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be interesting if you could, I know Zoom do this, so you can get people into subgroups, small groups, and be able to get them to record it if they can, play back to each other and things. So I think there is an opportunity there, but it's not an area that I've particularly explored. Reviewing a paper today for a journal, and it was a lovely paper. It was about vulnerability and trust in the classroom, how the sort of teacher builds trust and effectiveness with a group by showing vulnerability, and it's a very, very good paper. But one of the things that it did, I thought it really would have benefited from a short vignette of the author about their own practice, perhaps written in the first person, and it would have enabled the author to have shown something, as opposed to it just being, the reader being told something. It would have built a bridge between the reader and the author, in the same way that they were talking about building a bridge between their practice as a university teacher and the students.
Mm-hmm.
So I think sometimes, even when you're, in academic articles or when you're trying to make a point, writing in the first person enables you to show something, show an argument, as opposed to it being rather didactic and Teddish. That makes sense.
It does, and it kind of gives me that sense of encouragement that I think starting teaching next week being after Easter, for our term three, trying to integrate something like that into this new world. It's interesting you say about vulnerability and trust, but trying to get the students to think of this next term as a piece of co-creation and experimentation, and including something like that might well be an exercise and an activity that I think we need to try, and particularly on one module where there is a bit of reflective writing, it might encourage practice beyond, as you say, doing the Dear Diary, I sat down and wrote a proposal, I found it really hard.
One of the things we haven't talked about is the issue of reflexivity. And I think why I'm so keen on the idea of first-person writing from a theoretical perspective, it makes accessible this sort of rather difficult topic of being reflexive about how we can pay attention to our thought and practice at the same time. And it is one of the sort of very few ways that I've been able to sort of crack open the oyster and find the pearl, really.
Yeah.
Of being reflexive.
How do you go about introducing that concept to students? How have you gone about it?
Good question. So, I usually try to tackle. That's the other thing what we haven't mentioned yet is that enormous gravitational pull of some sort of object the size of Jupiter on knowledge, which is sort of the scientific method, isn't it? Where we focus on the subject, being subjective and objective, and we keep talking in those sorts of terms, as opposed to something which is a bit more sort of co-created into subjective knowledge. So how I usually start talking about it, is the thing about individual practice. What is it that we are actually doing? And then depending on the sort of level of the students and whether or not they still look interested in me or whatever.
That's going to be a tough room to read, doing it online, isn't it?
It is. And then get onto the topic lightly, on the thing about knowledge, epistemology. What is the nature of knowing that we have? And sometimes then I sort of pull a sort of address the topic of the scientific way of thinking and problematizing that a little bit and say, actually, okay, even most diehard scientists thinks about their own practice. So it's a variety, to answer your question, is the variety of ways I sort of get into the topic.
Yeah.
Depending on the level, depending on their level of interest, depending on how far I need to take it with them.
Okay. Thank you. That's really helpful. I feel like I'm just sweeping up ideas now for my own use and my own gain.
It's one of those things. I think it's quite a deep mind that you could explore. I'm always so. Perhaps it obviously says something more about me, really. But whenever I read a book or some philosophy or whatever, I'm always drawn to when people write in the first person. But again, I think that probably says more about me, really.
Yeah. I find it easier to read, I have to say. And I usually get drawn in a way that I don't when it's that sort of pseudo-formal business. This is the strategy, da-da-da-da. So I share that view about it being engaging, and that's why I was really quite interested in making those options available to students as we go through modules, because in a way, although I'm not asking them explicitly like you are to justify their choices, I'm still intrigued by their choices and trying to read in between the lines, particularly as they write their individual reports that or essays that would have normally been quite formal, and some of them are saying, well, you know, how do I do this? And I say, well, it's up to you. You decide whether you want to tackle it in first or third person. Oh, okay. So I find it makes it more interesting for me as a lecturer reading their work. There's an interesting element of self-interest in there, as much as there is an opportunity for deep mining for the student themselves.
I do find with some students, whenever they find, I think perhaps it's just to do with me, but they find it very frustrating. Or some students find it quite frustrating when I say to them, "Actually, I want you to make a choice." And I want, not only do I want you to make a choice, I want you to explain your choice to me. And they often they would say, well, just tell me what I need to do.
Yes. Do I need this for the exam? Come on, Rob, tell me what I need for the exam.
Yeah, and I do push back a lot on that. Some people find that quite frustrating. But on the ethics module that I'm mentioned, the whole objective there is that the participants at the end of the module are able to explain their own ethical position in life, not only to themselves but to other people. Now that does take a high degree of being reflexive, and I find it difficult to think how else you would get round or to that other than writing at least a portion of the work in first person.
Yeah, I think what I'm heading towards doing, it's too late for this leadership round, the leadership module we do in the second year. But that's a module where I say you choose, first or third's up to you. What I haven't done in previous years is actually have a group discussion where I get them to vocalise and explore with the group why they've chosen a particular way of doing it. But I am going to do that next year.
Yeah.
I think that's certainly something that I'd like to hear them talk about. And certainly some of those guys then go on to do your ethics module in the third year. So there's a nice sort of relationship there, I think.
Yeah.
What I might also reflect on a bit more is where we have those separate assessments that are a piece of reflective writing is how to draw that into the formative process in a module, and particularly in this virtual environment we're now using for the next, well, foreseeable future, I guess. Because I think there's ways and means of making it practice and trying to get to a place that's a little bit more reflexive rather than reflection.
Yeah. There is another dimension to this, which I've done with the MBA students before, which is the use not so much of first-person writing, but of art, of getting them, the challenge being to say something about yourself in a painting or some or a collage or something, and then to explain that. And to explain that to other, I mean, you can frame the challenge however you want, but to actually get them to do a piece of art, and then to actually say, okay, talk about that and explain it to others, there it seems the first person comes very naturally.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I have in the second year leadership module, I spend a bit of time talking about purpose, and as part of the discussion, I've always got them to, up until this point, and this is about halfway through the semester usually, it's been very objective, very third person, very theory heavy, and this is what so and so said ... all of a sudden, and it is a bit of a ambush in a way, I get them to think about themselves in terms of purpose and how they would think of their own individual purpose. And I get them to spend about 15 to 30 minutes, depending on how the room is, creating a storyboard. And it's usually a 6-frame storyboard where the last frame is where they think they want to end up and the first frame is where they have been, where they've come from. And it is really fascinating watching the reactions of, you know, there are some people who just, you know, relish the opportunity to do something, usually pictorially. Sometimes I have a discussion with them and they struggle to do the drawing, so we allow a few words to creep in. But at the other end of the scale, there are students who look like you've asked them to jump out the window. Just fascinating extremes. More often than not, we get them to produce something, or I get them to produce something. But really, really interesting extremes where you include that art element in some shape or form. Again, it's that moment where you think about your own practice and you think, oh, do I do enough with that? And I don't think I do. So that's, again, something to think about for next year.
Yeah. Okay. What else are we going to talk about?
Well, again, I feel very selfish because I've got loads of useful things that I'm going to try and weave and knit into modules coming up, and some in the short term, some in the longer term. So I'm sitting here as, if you can imagine someone sitting here greedily harvesting lots of ideas, I'm completely happy, but I feel like you've just been telling all your trade secrets.
Well, like anybody who's enthusiastic about a subject, they like talking about it. So I've had a lovely time as well.
Good. I hope, you know, I hope you've at least got something that you hadn't really previously thought about the discussion. Just to make me feel a bit better, Rob, even if you don't think it.
So for me, the idea of doing the storyboards, cause one thing we haven't talked about yet is in just by way of finishing off, in some of the MBA modules, I get people to think about where they come from, where are they now, where do they want to get to, how are they going to get there? And I like that idea of doing a storyboard around that. Well, that's what I'm going to take out of this conversation.
Well, I think I'll be completely honest, and that is part of the way I frame that storyboard exercise, using those headings. And I must have stolen those headings from something you wrote years ago. But a couple of the frames on the storyboard, one is about the sort of the elements, the key elements that people have, you know, what are the values, what are the skills, how do they see themselves? So that's one of the frames usually. So they're able to sort of make up a 6-window storyboard relatively easily within that kind of time window. So I'm happy to talk to you about that in a bit more detail, maybe at another point, and show you what they've produced. Usually one or two of them leave it behind, but this year I think everyone took it away, which is probably a good sign.
I'll tell you what I do with anything like that. I take pictures of all of them and put them up on the, their Moodle page, so there's no escape for them.
Well, I think that's some of it. Yeah, some of it can be. There was one student a few years ago, and it was so personal that I suspect if I'd have asked them, they might well have been happy to share it. But it was so personal. I looked at it and I spoke to them about it, and I personally felt deeply uncomfortable with asking them to share it any further. So I think there are some circumstances where it probably would have been best kept away from a public fora. But good point, actually. To try and get them to use it in some shape or form, maybe via Moodle or maybe just by talking it through. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that, Rob. Really good. Do we need to book another one in while we've got momentum and we're gaining ahead of steam?
I think so. Have we got... are we stopping recording this now?
Well, I'm going to stop recording now.